It is our hope that you were blessed by Pastor's message. Join us at our regular service weekly at 808 Anacoco Street, Leesville, Louisiana, or phone us at 337-238-4954. May God bless and keep you until we meet again.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio. At 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministries Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Let us receive our pastor, Dr. John E. Montgomery II.
God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this opportunity to study your word. We pray that by your spirit you will meet us in the text and tailor the truth so that it reaches us right where we are, and then by your spirit empower us to not only hear the principles but practice them so we might profit from it. And then God, we give you praise and glory in advance for knowing us better than we know ourselves, helping us to transition from where we are to where we ought to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray, and all the saints said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise as you are seated in his presence. Amen. I want to invite you into this study this evening that I believe if you're not in this place or have had this experience, keep living and you shall. I just want to see the hands of those of you who are presently or just finished going through a trial, tribulation, or temptation, and just want to hear another time what the Lord has to say about it. I want to deal with this because one of the things that you're going to discover about our lesson this evening is going to, again, bring us to the truth about temptation. Now, this word temptation can be broken down into two other words, test, trial, as well as temptation, because one of the things this word is an interchangeable word, and it goes between certain things, the test, the trial, the temptation. All of those are on the same span in terms of the effect that they have. One of the things that you must know that we're going to discover from Scripture is that God doesn't test you with evil. God doesn't try you with evil. God doesn't tempt you with evil. So if God doesn't do these things, then what you've got to recognize is that though he permits them and he allows them, it is because he has a different outcome perspective for what's going to happen after the test, after the trial, after the temptation, if you do it according to his word. Now, one of the things, again, that I think would be helpful to us understanding and exposing the enemy as relates to this is the fact, one of the things, when you begin to understand how to operate in the word, the devil has less and less power to trick you, to put you in a trick bag, to mess up with you, to mess over you. That's why, again, the word says, God says, his people perish for a lack of knowledge. And a lack of knowledge means not just knowing or not knowing it, but not knowing how to operate in it. Because y'all have big old Bibles under y'all arms, on your nightstand, on your car dashboard, keep it with you everywhere you go, and still don't even know how to use it. So that ain't doing you a whole lot of good just to know it. You got to know how to operate it. And that's where we want to move to and understand. One of the things too, again, that's helpful is learning how, and I love when God gives me revelation on scripture, be it biblical or experiential, or in other forms, to share that with the believers, with the saints, because if I can expose the tricks of the enemy and help you identify them, then you'll be able to walk a greater walk in wisdom and understand. See, everything you learn, you ain't got to go through it yourself. See, there are some things you can learn from other folks. You know, it's one thing to have to go through it. It's another thing to know how to keep from going through it. And the greater person is the one who learns how to keep from going through it. Now, if I can get the benefit of all of your training and knowledge without having to go through all of the stuff that you've gone through, then I'm the one who gains the greater. That's what you call more than a conqueror. A conqueror is the one who goes out and make the paycheck. More than a conqueror is the one who gets to spend it. I figured some of y'all could identify with that. All right. Just like we could not have gone through what Jesus went through, he was the conqueror. We are more the conquerors because we got the benefit of what he went through and what he did. And as a result of that, as those who are connected with him, he has literally, his promises, his word, literally, when he gave Peter the keys and said that he's given him the power to bind on things on earth, and he'll do the same in heaven, to loose things on earth, and he'll do the same in heaven. He literally gave Peter and the believers his checkbook signed already. Now, when you have an inexhaustible checkbook resource, what limits you? I mean, you think about tonight, if you had an inexhaustible amount of funds, how different would your life change immediately? Some of y'all wouldn't be going to work in the morning. Some of y'all would already be seeing yourself, well, I'm moving on up. We'd be having nice big old mansions and this, that, and the other. And I mean, the cars and everything, our whole lives would change all together immediately. And that's still the reality of what we have. That's the reality of what we have in Christ Jesus and in the Word of God. So one of the things that I want to do is help you to understand the truth about temptation. The first thing you need to know about temptation is it's a trick. Temptation is a trick. I want you to see it in the Word of God. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5, recorded are these words. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want you to look at the Life Applications translation. Same verses. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever ye face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now listen at that. If you understand this word and see what James is talking about, as James reveals that temptations are a trick, and the first thing that he tells us is that we ought to count it all joy. Well, now how can I count it all joy when I'm going through a test, when I'm going through a trial, when I'm going through a temptation or a tribulation? And here he puts it many different kinds. How can I count it joy? Well, I can count it joy when I first recognize that whatever comes to me has first gone through God. The devil can't even touch me until God has tempered his test so that the devil doesn't put more on me than I can bear. The second thing I need to understand about counting it all joy is understanding if God has allowed this, if God has permitted this, that God himself has already stamped success on my test. So I'm going to win this thing because God would not allow the enemy to put this situation in a no-win kind of position. So because of who I am, God knows again what it is he wants to come out of me. The devil wants to defeat me, but God wants to develop me. So what the devil thinks he's going to do in defeating me, God says, I'm going to take this and develop him out of this. So again, you look at Job and you understand, God told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, I have, but he's a little too tough for me. I want somebody that's weaker. No, God said, use him. Satan said, well, I tell you what, if you take everything from him, I'll make him curse you to your face. God said, I'm not going to take nothing from him. I'm going to let you do it. But when he allowed him, he put limitations on him. He told him what he could do. If you read the chapter, first chapter of Job, you will see this. But he also told him what he couldn't do. So when you begin to understand that, all of this makes clear that the devil who did this to Job was doing it undercover. Job thought God was doing it. Did he not? He even declared, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. See, again, that was a slap in the devil's face, because at this time, the devil thought Job would have been wiped out. Job was still holding strong. And so God knew what was in Job. That's why he allowed Job to be tested. That's why God presented him before the devil. Now let me throw this out for you to understand. Whatever it is you're going through, God saw that you would be able to deal with it better than you knew you would be able to deal with it. And he recommended you to the devil. Now that don't make you shout. You just already messed up. God has so much confidence in you that he said, now you can try this with this one, but now don't try this with that one. Because he knew this one was going to pass that test. He knew the other one couldn't handle that test. So he wouldn't even let the devil put that on. So that's why, look again at what the word says, because when you go back, it's clear. My brethren, count it all joy. When do we count it joy? When we come out of the trial. That's when you're a weak saint. That's when you just, Lord, I made it through. Thank you, Jesus. At the end, you shout. You don't count it joy in the middle, because you lessen your degree of joy by waiting until you finally get the revelation, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to make it. It ain't over, but I'm going to make it. Well, a real believer counts it joy like David did in Psalm 23 and 4. Before he ever went through the valley, he shouted, yay! Why did he shout yay? Because he recognized that what he was going through was a process to get to what was waiting on him. And what you don't understand is the test, the trial, the temptation is only a process to get to what God has for you. And for those of you who are running from your test and running from your trials and running from your temptation, instead of counting it joy because God is trying to promote you, counting it joy because God has got this thing fixed, counting it joy because this is the way that God transitions you from where you are to where he wants you to be, you can start shouting, because you know when it's all over, you're going to be at a whole nother level. Now here's the problem. We all want to go to, but we don't want to go through. Have you ever seen somebody who's gone through and it didn't look like it? It wasn't until you heard the testimony and they tell you all they've been through. Not you.
I mean, you just look so beautiful, so wonderful. You look so this, that, and the other. I never would have told you. You never lost your smile. It just seemed like nothing bothered you. That's the way you're supposed to look. You need to look grand going through the valley. Because the devil don't know who he messing with. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. They what? Well, if I'm comforted, why do I need to look discomforted? If I'm walking with the one who's going to make everything all right, and as long as he's walking with me, what do I have to fear? If I fall, he's going to pick me up. If the enemy comes, he's going to step out and... That's what the rod is for, my enemy, but the staff is for when I mess up. He reaches down and picks me up, throw me over his back if I can't walk no more. What do I have to be discomforted about? Now listen at this. Listen. I want you to understand what is important in this word so you can get it out. Say to your neighbor or to yourself, temptation is a trick. Now listen at this. How do I handle this trick? Wisdom is the key. Look at the word. Now wisdom represents the word of God, because the word of God is going to show me how to deal with the trick or the tricks of the enemy. Wisdom, the word of God is going to teach me how to handle everything the devil throws at me. That's why the devil doesn't want me to study the word, to know the word, because he knows he's not going to be able to trick me up if I know the word. Because the Holy Ghost is going to go into my spiritual storage and remind me of what I know is right and what happened to another brother or sister in the word. And because God is no respecter of persons, what he's done for that brother or that sister, he is bound by his word to do the same thing for me. So when I get a hold of that revelation, then I walk in confidence through my tests, through my trials, through my tribulations, and through my temptations, because I recognize it's a trick. The devil is trying to make me think it's something when it's nothing. The devil is trying to get me to have a distorted view that what God says he doesn't mean, and what he means he doesn't say. I've got to know that God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. So if God has said something and it's going contrary to that, I've got to make all men liars and know that God is true. And if I hold on to what he said, it's going to happen just like he said it. That's his job, to make it happen that way. That's why Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know. See, there's confidence there that all things, good and bad, up and down, right and wrong, work together for what? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now look at what wisdom will reveal to you. It's a trick. Wisdom will show you how to discern what you're dealing with. Wisdom will show you how to deal with the tricks and the temptations. And wisdom will show you how to get deliverance from temptation. All that's found in wisdom. That's why in the fifth verse he say, if you lack wisdom, guess who you ought to ask? You ought to ask God, because God's going to give you the ability, number one, to be able to discern. Is this a trick? Is this a trap? Is this a temptation? If then he reveals that, and I know, because if it's a trick, then I need to understand what are the ramifications of it. And by discerning what it is, I'll know how to flow in the things of God and how God wants me to deal with it. A trial, a test, and a temptation all are designed to pull out of me what's in me, or to keep from me from getting what God wants from me. And so when I recognize that, I know how to deal with each one, but you've got to have a discerning spirit about that. And that comes through, again, knowing the word of God. I mean, in the natural, some things can look one way, but in the spiritual realm, it can be altogether different. Things aren't always as they appear. And discerning is necessary to see what is and what is not. One scripture I use frequently to bring out this point is Jesus asked the men, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They begin to say, you're Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the prophets. Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood, Simon Bar-Jonah, had not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Several verses later, Jesus is telling them he's got to die on Calvary. Peter jumps up again. First time he spoke by the Spirit. Second time he spoke out of self. Jesus was able to discern the difference and recognize that while God used Peter the first time, Satan used Peter the second time. His discerning spirit knew. Here's what Jesus knew. That the devil doesn't. That God will never lead you to operate opposite of his word. Amen. Jesus knew he came to live and to die to restore mankind. To not go to Calvary would mean not to fulfill his mission and ministry. So when Peter said, "Be it far from you, no, Lord, this thing will not happen," Jesus turned and looked, and who did he call out? He said, not "get thee behind me, Simon Bar-Jonah," like he said in the previous verses. He didn't say, "Get thee behind me, Peter." He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Why? Because he was able to discern it. Second thing is, you're going to learn how, with wisdom, how to deal with whatever it is, a trial, a test, or a temptation. Because there are brothers and sisters in the scripture who dealt with these issues, and they dealt with them either successfully or unsuccessfully. And you begin to understand, as the word is principled, that same principle applies today. If I practice it, I get the same profit from it. I need to know that there are some examples in the word that I should not be like, just like there are examples in the word that I should be like. And so when I learn how to deal with it, while I'm going through, or when I'm getting ready to go through, or even as I'm going through, God's word will show me how to deal with them. But then if I'm trapped in it and can't seem to get out of it, his wisdom will show me how to be delivered from it. Because how many of us have fallen prey to tests and trials and temptations and actually got in them and didn't know how to get out of them? Wisdom gets you deliverance, because the enemy's wit is no match for the wisdom of God. And so when you know how to do that, then you will discover the deliverance that God will give you. Let's say again, temptation is a trick. But temptation is also progressive, so it moves from a trick to temptation is a trap. It's a trap. Look at this word, James 1, verse 12 and 13. Look at what the word says. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with what? Evil. Neither," listen at this, "tempted he any man." God does not tempt you. The devil does. God allows it. God permits it, but God doesn't do it. Why? Because God doesn't deal with evil. That's Satan's department. But what he does is he legislates to Satan how much evil Satan can bring upon you to prove his point concerning you. Now, God is too wise of a God to let Satan just dump all his evil on you, because nobody could handle that. So that's why God measures out how much he lets happen to you, because again, Satan is proving a point. It's really that you really aren't who God says you are, that you really don't have what God says you have, that you're not all that God says you are. And so he's trying to prove a point. Now, I'm going to throw this out right now, but I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. This test, this trial, this temptation really isn't about you. What? It's really not about you, boo. I know you think it is, but it isn't. It is a war that's been going on between Satan and God ever since Satan got kicked out of heaven and took a third of the angels with him. Satan knew he was bound for hell. And so because God had made man just a little lower than the angels, became the chief of his creation, he knew God's heart for mankind. And so what Satan knew was, if he couldn't get to God, what he would do is get to the next best thing that God loved. Now, you know that's how folk work. If they can't get to you, they get to what you love. Because inadvertently and indirectly, they hurt what you love, thus hurting you. And it's called the weakest link. And that's what any strong, listen, strategists know. If I'm going to hurt you, the only way I'm going to get in is to discover your weakest link. And whatever your weakest link in, that's my access to bringing you down. All through history, all of the strategists, every time there was a war, when they sat down and tried to discover, even if the numbers were uneven, the strategist's main whole philosophy, concept, and ideology was surrounding, let's find the weakest link. How can we enter or infiltrate this person's kingdom or this person's army, etc., etc., etc.? Satan does the same thing. And I'm going to show you a little later where your weakest link is. And Satan deals with that. And so Satan's desire is to hurt God. And the way that he hurts God is by using us against God. You see, God knew who Satan was and what he was, but he let Satan prove it. Once he did that, he pronounced judgment on Satan. Satan, no, there is no turning around for Satan. He is condemned to hell. So Satan got mad with God. I tell you what, I'm going to take as many of yours as I can to hell with me. And that's his job daily. He don't get 24/7. He trying to get you to go to hell. Don't fool yourself. And it ain't about you. You just another number. He's trying to get to your heavenly Father. And so when we recognize that, we begin to see some things. Look again. The 12 and 13 verse said, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Again, this Life Application Bible makes it a little clearer. It said, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When